from Alex Co. Consulting. Today on Dialogue, I'm speaking with Clay Langdon, Brand Strategy and Experience Development Director at Magara Jesse in Austin. Clay and I have chatted on a couple of occasions outside of Dialogue regarding the opportunities in our business today and the opportunity for strategy given the social behaviors of consumers in the marketplace. He has been kind enough to offer me time for Dialogue, and I'm just thrilled that we are doing this. Hi, Clay.
Hi.
Thank you for speaking with me today and for your willingness to share your perspective on Dialogue.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, let's just jump right in then. I've got four questions, and I will post these questions on the blog so everyone can see them. But I'd like to just jump right in. And the first question is something that we've talked about just a little bit, and it's kind of surrounding the opportunity for agencies today. I know that from speaking with you that Magara Jesse is about strategically grounded ideas and creative craftsmanship. However, our industry has somewhat become a factory for production and efficiencies, and that's pretty strong language there and a pretty hefty generalization. But if we have creatively minded, and then we also have to keep our eye on efficiencies and productions, with those two things in mind, how would you describe the opportunities for agencies today?
Well, what a great question. I think there's the opportunity for our agency, where we sit in sort of an unusual place in that we are fundamentally in charge of integrating, you know, interior design, graphic design, you know, web design, advertising, communication, social media, kind of product development, packaging, everything. And so I think there is the opportunity, at least for us, is to find companies that need coordinated, integrated strategic and creative development that where all the different parts are working together to inform the whole. And that, you know, that requires thoughtful craftsmanship at every touch point to make sure that everything is integrated and that different touch points are performing their optimal role inside of a larger strategic framework.
That's really clear. Absolutely. What do you think? What would you say is on the expansive side? If we're going to, you know, be the stewards and provide the direction, you know, from the agency front and from the planning front, what would you say are the sort of the new areas that planners and that agencies have to manage on the right side, if you will? So the left historically, creativity and innovation and you know, the different mediums that we managed. On the right side, what's been added to the mix? What would you say from your perspective and there at Magara Jesse has been added to the mix of things that we need to steward as planners?
Okay, great question. I think really it's just a matter of complexity and time. There's a lot more to manage. There's a lot more. There are a lot more pockets of innovation. There are a lot more things that need to be innovated, and there's a lot less time to do so. So I think what ends up happening is you need two different things simultaneously. On the one hand, you need better analytics and tighter integration of different data streams from free and from proprietary and from secondary sources all coming online and being looked upon in an aggregated fashion in a coordinated way so that you can begin to learn from different data streams and, you know, look at what the data is telling you to help you make better strategic decisions, long-term strategic decisions, and short-term strategic decisions. So you need kind of an evolved analytics muscle to be able to help an agency strategy department make better decisions. The other thing that you need is you know, to make sure you have planners who are really fast idea people who can take a look at a situation, take a look at a market, at a social media phenomenon, at a at you know, site performance metrics, and immediately recognize a few different paths forward, and immediately give clear direction to content developers, to media investment managers, and to social media community directors, to program managers of all sorts. You kind of have to have a balance of the disciplined analytics folks who can help you to you know, make dispassionate, informed
This is exciting. I'm going to see, we'll see where the conversation goes today and now, but that evolved analytic muscle is a title and something that's very clear for the opportunity and for that space to the right, the new space. So definitely, definitely might see evolved analytic muscle as a title here for this. But let's continue, and thank you for that. I've mentioned on Dialogue that we're building latent connections, and that's the value of social media connections and other social entities has yet to be realized, that we're connecting, but not necessarily in a value or benefit-driven way. Would you agree with that insight? And if yes, what do you see the value today of these sort of connections? And then into the future, what's the future opportunity for the untapped opportunity and for those connections?
Well, it's a tough thing. I think that there is a tremendous amount of value that comes from just making all those connections possible. It's like a brain with a lot, you know, now there's lots of neurons that can fire together and cooperate and synapses that are touching that weren't touching before. And so it's extremely powerful. You can, you know, you're basically enabling better decision making, more extensive information gathering, faster, more efficient, you know, processing basically at a human and society level. The question about, you know, where does value come from? And inevitably, there's a quest to monetize all this stuff, and that's always going to, you know, be an elusive goal, because one of the great things about providing these tools and services and platforms is that you're enabling people to make better decisions, and that decision, you know, may involve your brand, and it may not, and that decision may involve and may resolve in additional revenue, and it may not. And so, at the same time, you know, all of these tools can become. You know, market builders, brand builders, but like any other brand building activity, they're notoriously difficult to measure. And much of what is considered, you know, much of what we consider to be brand building is, you know, if you went back in time 5 years or 10 years, it would look a lot like customer service, or it would look a lot like product development. And so, I think you have to imagine that not all of the costs that go into customer service or into product development are recouped and capable of being monetized.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I haven't heard it put like that either. And in terms of measurability, it is such a challenge, especially because we're in a new space. So the rules or the theory is new. So, you know, it's a new time for measuring if it's measurable, which is kind of complex in a way. Great. Let me continue then. So Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, was recently quoted by TechCrunch as saying, "Our strategy is very horizontal. We're trying to build a social layer for everything." So my question is, do you think that everything has the potential of being social? And in your opinion, are there lines or guardrails for social connections?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everything is social to begin with. I mean, I think that comes from the fact that we're, you know, social creatures, and so it depends on how you're defining social. But I think everything is fundamentally social. Yes, there are going to be areas where people demand privacy and have a higher standard of privacy. I think once you're in the world of, you know, extremely personal information and data, then there's a reflexive instinct to protect oneself from you know, public displays. But I think the boundaries between what is public and, you know, what is public and what is private have been blurred and challenged in recent years. I guess the one thing I would say about, you know, the role of brands in that social media environment to facilitate that conversation, to me, it always feels better when I know that the brand is there just building infrastructure to allow those conversations to take place, facilitating those conversations, building the forum, building the arena, but not taking a super active role in the conversations themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a time and a place, but you know, it's, you know, by definition, I think the social media needs to be social and directed and driven by people, not by marketing groups or you know, brand
we've seen people starting to come together. One of the things that I've been trending a little bit and talking a little bit on the blog is, you know, people, this aggregation, this people coming together for community, people coming together for causes. Can you talk a little bit about any sort of perception or any sort of ideas surrounding, you know, people coming together using social media? Is there anything to extend on there?
Sure. I mean, I think, there are a million examples. An interesting example for me is a phenomenon. We've recently been doing some interviews with, we have a financial advisory client, and it's been really interesting to dive into this world of financial advisors and consultants and strategists and institutional fund managers. And one of the things we've learned is that the news environments have completely rolled over in the last 3 years, and by and large, people are no longer, professionals are no longer going to mainstream media to get their financial advice and to get news and information that they're going to use to make business decisions. Where that role used to be provided by, the Wall Street Journal, Investor's Business Daily, Barron's and the like, while people still use those resources, but they figure that the quickest way to get information is to go to a dedicated, blog or some type of community environment that is where they know they're going to be, receiving unadulterated, unscrubbed information that is going to show up a day or two before that information is going to show up in the New York Times, for instance. So, what the risk there, of course, is that, this is one of fact-checking and you have this wild, cauldron of insights and information that is, difficult to assess in terms of accuracy. But it's so much faster and more immediate that I think it's a much more compelling source of ideas and inspiration, particularly if you need ideas and inspiration to be fresh and current and topical. And in an industry like financial services, currency and speed to market is everything. And so I think that's one thing that social media and that interactive media in general allows for, which is much faster aggregation of ideas and information amongst people with a very dedicated interest and a narrow set of ideas and drivers to hunt from.
Thank you for that. Great. I've got one last question for you here, and this question is about crowdsourcing. So with crowdsourcing in mind, and let me give a definition here, which I pulled from Jeff Howe's blog. He wrote a white paper a couple years back, I believe in 2007, on crowdsourcing. But he defines crowdsourcing as the act of taking a job traditionally performed by a designated agent and outsourcing it to an undefined, generally large group of people in the form of an open call. I've seen some cool things really coming out on crowdsourcing. There's a website called 99 Designs, and with the Gap logo, they crowdsourced a new Gap logo, and there was a lot of excitement and energy happening there. And then recently, a friend and I were talking about John Windsor's planning this presentation, which was also on that topic. What would you say is the value of crowdsourcing, and have you seen it put to use in other ways that we can talk about?
I think the idea of crowdsourcing is awesome. We've used it with some success here and there, and I think it has a time and a place for extremely tight definitions of a consulting engagement. Like, for instance, a month or so ago, I needed an expert opinion, somebody that could take a look at looking just at Google Analytics, could give me a point of view on a retail brand and sales performance characteristics, looking at e-commerce and a few different offline retail data streams. And so for that, I just kind of needed somebody that knew retail, that was comfortable with Google Analytics, it would be an involved, you know, there'd be writers and art directors and other people looking at this, at multiple ideas together, and we would be, you know, there would be arguments, there would be you know, discussions about implementation, and you know, and it would take us a few months to even get to a set. And you know, you can look at that as the problem, as the old way of, you know, getting to a long, you know, tortured set of design recommendations. But I think ultimately, for an example like design, like an identity, you need people working together, you know, that are looking at the problem from different angles and are representing different disciplines that are looking at the problem and trying to solve the problem together. I think if you try to outsource that to an unconnected, you know, spoke out in the world that is not connected and doesn't really have a good handle on who the customer is or what the design needs to do or, you know, what the marketing role of the logo is going to be, and if you're not really looking at it from a, you know, from a competitive context perspective, or and if you're not really in position to, you know, develop customer-facing, you know, qualitative exploration, you're going to end up with I think, an inferior product. And my opinion is that new Gap logo is terrible. I think it looks like an identity for a, you know, a software company or a server farm, or a, you know, that logo to me looks like database engineering, not fashion. And I think that's what happens if you try to take an assignment that really needs to be looked at by different people that are cooperating, not a lone practitioner sending in a, you know, uninformed, speculative piece of creative that is necessarily disconnected from other, you know, strategic disciplines. Now, that's not to say that there couldn't be a, you know, some kind of a model that would allow, you know, people to work together more effectively in the ether. I think that could happen, but I think at some point it's unavoidable that you'll need to have people in a room working together, at least on big and, you know, more complex assignments.
I think that's a huge something to point out and to call out is, you know, the connectedness that are agencies or that live in at consultancies. It's something that I haven't read much about. It's something that I talked to a lot of people. It's something that I haven't heard spoken at all. Just that idea of people working together and the ideation that happens and in that space is huge. And, you know, perhaps the conversations and the disinterest of from the Gap logo is an example, if at the very least, of what, you know, the unconnectedness, what that might look like. And I don't know the background to say or whether or not it was connected or not, but what a great point on people working together and being connected. Because even with, you know, Elance or like the PFA deliverable, you know, that could very well be disconnected. It could be its own thing. And for some ideas, for some project work, it's okay. But for others where there needs to be that connection, that team element, that back and forth, it's not okay. And just something really to call out per your comment there that I haven't, you know, that's new and interesting that I haven't heard much about, that I bet we'll hear more talk about, is that value.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it's good to have, you know, when we get together for a huddle, like, you know, what's good about having people that are, you know, representing different disciplines is you'll have people looking at, you know, you have one problem to solve, but in the minds of seven different people from different departments, it's a different question, and they're looking at it from a completely different angle. And, you know, it's not possible, you know, to have the benefit of the opinion of the, you know, the strengths and weaknesses and, you know, potential challenges and opportunities that come along with a creative solution. If those people aren't involved in that conversation, then that's the problem with it. You know, the benefit to it is that, you know, not every agency, you know, for every brand problem, you're probably going to need a unique solution. You might need, you know, a brand, and this is a silly example, but, you know, a brand might, to craft the solution, might need, you know, a monkey trainer and a puppeteer. And if you need that particular, you know, constellation of creative resources, no agency has that just sitting around. Like, so that's an example where you'd need to go off and find different people with different types of expertise. And, you know, agencies kind of do that already, but they're not set up organically to think of it that way with every for every project. But once you do identify those people, I think, you know, no amount of file sharing and, you know, conference calls and Skype can substitute for having, you know, locking people in a room together to help come up with a solution together.
Well, fantastic. We're about at our mark for time, and I want to be respectful of that. So I'd like to go ahead and close out and first give a big, big, huge thank you for sharing your time. I know that you're super busy and you have a lot going on, so we really do appreciate and just, you know, thank you for that. The purpose of dialogue is to share inspiration and to talk about things that are happening in today's world, and particularly today in the marketing and advertising space. So I really think that we've touched on a couple of great things, and I know that people will find it useful. So just a real big thanks, Clay, for your time and for sharing your perspective on these things.
Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.